And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So here we stand at the beginning of the fulfillment of God's revelation of his tender love towards humankind. On the night of the institution of the sacrament of love. And I wonder if you had to describe love to someone, how would you do it? What you're no doubt thinking is right, of course. To comprehend love at all, it must be embodied. It must be sensory, an action, not mere words. But if you had to put it just into words, obviously you might need quite a few. A whole long list of properties might emerge as you felt your way around or towards some of the unmappable contours of love. But as you composed your list, which word would be first? The first word? Well, perhaps another question would be no more difficult. If you were giving an account of the whole of creation, and you knew that somewhere in it there must be a first word, a first speech act, what would that be? Or again, if you were yourself a perfect relationship of limitless capacity and wanted to embody love, and you knew that to do it you would require the entire history of all of the almost endless diversity of a created order gathered up in the willful actions and the speech of one creature within it, what would that look and feel and sound like? What would that action, that word, that quality be which summed up the whole and brought that great expression of love to its right conclusion? In one sense, to all these vast questions, the whole counsel of Holy Scripture offers just one answer. The one laid out under several of its aspects in the great feast in which we participate over these 3 days, in the readings which we have heard this evening and will hear in the days to follow, and in that which we celebrate daily and which was instituted on this night. When St. Paul set about answering the first of our questions and tried to use just words, he chose a word to begin his list of love's definitive qualities, perhaps surprising to us, which is the heart of that one answer, as it is the heartbeat of this great week, of this faith that we share, and of this feast. Love, he said, first, love is patient. Patience is what undergirds the whole project of creation. Patience is what characterizes the one in whom that creation is fulfilled. And patience, as the Collect for Holy Week we have just prayed makes clear, is what he supremely demonstrates in our Gospels this week and on this night, and what he calls us, perhaps above all, to imitate. This is why deacons and priests and bishops wear those elaborate towels over their forearms at Mass, to remind us all, in the light of the incident we've just read from John's Gospel, of the basis of all Christian ministry, that whatever else we are, as followers of Christ, we are those called to patience, to being waiters. In Roberto Benigni's film La Vita Bella, as the hero begins his training in the noble profession of waiting on tables, his elderly mentor Eliseo tells the young apprentice, "Serving is the supreme art, for God is first among waiters. He serves men. He is not their servant." Now, although the second part of that claim seems to contradict the New Testament theme of tonight's foot washing, God in Christ taking the very nature of a servant, the subtle distinction the old waiter is expressing is one woven throughout the scriptural revelation of the Son of God, It is apparent through John's Gospel, especially through this week in particular. It is apparent through Jesus' encounters with Caiaphas and Pilate, with his disciples, and with his Father. It is a distinction that our language is ill-equipped to describe, but it is the essence of patience, and one we must learn to recognize if we are to tarry an hour and share in the patience of Jesus. In grammar, the patient is the term used in the theory of meaning structure relations that identifies something affected or acted upon by the verb, like the medical patient being cared for or dependent upon, ultimately operated upon by another. Patient implies passivity, not activity, the object, not the subject. But what we encounter in the Word made, or better, become flesh, is not quite passivity. It is a continually chosen and held position, like that expressed in Gethsemane, an active, willed passivity which subjects itself to the will or simply to the reality of another, rather than seeking to struggle or overcome. It is chosen submission out of love and making room. When we talk about being patient, we often mean something like bearing or putting up with, but that is the attitude of a servant, not of one who serves. Patience is more dynamic than that. It is a choosing not to act when we might do so, not to leave when we might prefer to, not to enforce a change or at least struggle for one, but to live wholeheartedly with something not of us. This is the patience that sits with a dying person when the life within us is longing to run or to try and make better, though we cannot. This is the patience that every waiter worth their salt shares in every day for their salt by stilling their own need to look for the needs of someone else, waiting, alert, to act for them. Because this is the gracious patience that spoke creation into being in the first place. The first word, not so much an action, but a verb, a willed making of space for the other. Let there be that which is not us. And this is the very patience our Lord displays gratuitously in taking upon himself our nature, in taking up his towel and kneeling at the feet of his disciples. The patience that pays attention to the other, that waits upon them rather than dictates to them, that allows them in their turn to freely choose to serve, precisely by giving them the gift of being served. This kind of patience, though, this very particular form of chosen passivity, inevitably carries suffering within it. Patience as passio, inevitable, because it depends on a giving away of ego, not my will, but thine be done. Inevitable, because preferring the other and dying to self are to some degree inseparable. And inevitable, because the people we might serve are not necessarily perfectly responsive, not always perfectly tuned to being equally self-giving in return, not even necessarily very good at being sufficiently patient to receive the loving kindness we seek to extend to them, because of immaturity, because of selfishness, because they are not yet finished. So being patient, after the example of Christ, always involves drinking a cup we would rather not drink. And we are called to learn to recognize by taste those moments in which we're invited into the holy mystery of Christ's patience. But we are not called to take this task upon ourselves, rather to share in the long patience of the one who, in the act of creating that which is by definition not perfect, always knew that there would be in what emerged wine and gall, a cup of judgment and bitter tears, and was always willing to drink it to the dregs, because that is what love consists in. Of course, when St. Paul was choosing that list of words for love, he cheated. And rather than use adjectives which are too static, he only employed verbs. Love is doing kindness, hoping all things. And the first word, patient, implies actively taking on the trappings of one who is patient, and means most fully putting one's whole breath and blood into something across an extended time. Or as Henri Nouwen put it, the word patience means simply the willingness to stay, to live the situation out to the full in the belief that something hidden there will be made manifest. It is patience that suffers to see emerge that which it knows to be present. Long-suffering not out of inert submission to circumstance, but conscious living of it to the full out of love. Not grudgingly choosing the lesser of two evils, but willingly choosing something we do not want for the love of the one who does. Not a putting up with out of some underdeveloped sense of how loved we are, but enduring in the light of the hope love reveals, the unhurried urgency of faith in what will ultimately come to be. This is the patience we are called to imitate and to enter into. This is the love that bears up the entire created order that is summed up within it in the cross and in the life of servanthood, of waiting, that is its daily outworking. This is the first and last word, the patience that dares to allow and absorb the groaning of the whole cosmos, so that what is hidden in the original choice to embody the infinite love of the triune God might in the fullness of time be perfectly revealed. Let us make man in our own image. Therefore, when Jesus had received the bitter wine, he said, "It is accomplished." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.